appreciate your attendance. We're glad to see each one of you. We need to remember in prayer Brother Herb and Sister Ruth, as they are out of town down in South Alabama preaching and ministering today. And so remember them in prayer as they're away. I pray that you'll pray for us here as we try to teach the Lord's Word today. I'd like for you to turn with me in the Scriptures to Philippians chapter 3, and I'll be taking my thoughts and the text from verse 10. Philippians 3:10. The title of the message today is, Do You Know Him? Philippians 3:10, Paul says here, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And we know that prior to this time, a few years prior to this time, that Paul, or Saul, was struck down by the Lord on the way to Damascus in order that he might imprison or arrest some of God's believers, God's children. And he was against God, and he was dedicated to that. But the Lord struck him down one day and blinded him with a great light, and he met the Lord that day. And so there was a big change in him. A new change became upon him. And he became to know the Lord that day. Because he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? But now he is saying that I may know Him. Now, we talk to people today and they say, I know the Lord. But I ask the question today, do you know the Lord? Paul here is saying that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. We just sang a song that Christ arose. And that is the foundation of our Christianity, is Jesus Christ raising from the dead. And that He accomplished, procured our salvation. But Paul says here, I would like to know Him in the power of His resurrection. It is by that same power that God, by His Spirit to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, is that same power that He raises and regenerates and quickens a lost sinner to eternal life. And so Paul here is saying that I would may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings and being made conformable unto His death. And we know that the Lord tells us even that those that live holy shall suffer persecutions. So we either know Him through His sufferings. And this is the way that we are being made conformable unto His death. Is that from day to day, it is a lifetime process that the Lord is working on us as the elect of God to bring us to the point of glorification, to be conformed completely to the image of Jesus Christ and to be conformed unto His death. This word here, to know, in the Greek it means, it is ginosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. It is a prime verb, to know, absolute, to perceive, to attend awareness and understanding, be resolved, be sure, and understand, to know. This is what Paul is saying. I want, may know Him for a fact, for a surety. Not that I'm afraid that there are too many professing Christians today say that I know Him and it's with the head. But we know that that is not the way that we as the God's elect are to know Him. It is to be in the heart and know for a surety who God is and what He stands for and what He requires. We find some instances in the Scriptures in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35 and verse 37. It says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth is reputed as nothing. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, what doest thou?" And verse 37 says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, in His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase." It's pretty evident here that God got Nebuchadnezzar's attention. That in after He had put him out to pasture for 7 years, that he come back and he was extolling the Most High God and saying that that God, this God, is able to abase the pride. Do you know Him? We need to know Him. In Daniel 2 and verse 21 says, "And He changes the times and the seasons." Nahum 1 and 3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His ways in the whirlwind and in the storms, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." You know, back when I was working, I would be on a business trip. We'd be flying. And we'd go above the clouds. We could look down and just see the beautiful clouds. It looked like that you could just step out on them and walk on them. Beautiful sight. But this God that we're talking about, the Scripture says that these clouds are the dust of His feet. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Isaiah, and Nahum says here that He will in no wise acquit the wicked. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. One day, we as the elect of God will stand at the judgment seat or the bema seat of Jesus Christ. The Scripture says that we will give account for every deed that we have done, whether it be good or bad. Now this won't be a judgment for our eternal life for salvation, but it will be a judgment for how that we have treated the Word of God and how we have served Him through His church and being obedient to His Word. And then there's also going to be a judgment one day of the wicked. They will also be judged for the deeds that they have done in their body, but it will be to their damnation. And then they will be cast into the lake of fire. So this God does not acquit the wicked. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the High and the Lofty One, One that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones." Those are the ones that will be able to dwell in the presence of Almighty God. In Romans chapter 8 is a favorite scripture of mine. And Romans 8:28, 29, and 30. Do you know Him? Do you know this God? And we know, verse 28. The Greek word here is genosko, to know, absolute, to be sure, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow. The Greek word here, foreknow, is progenosko, to know beforehand. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Also in verse 30 it says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate." The verb literally here means to mark off or to choose beforehand. Them He also called, or summons to Himself, or quickened. And when He called them, He also justified them. Sins forgiven by the death of Christ on the cross. And by the death of Christ on the cross, and whom He did justify, them He also glorified. To be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So the Lord, whom He foreknew, it is a surety. Genosko. To know for a surety that what God has purposed and planned, that He will carry it out through eternity. And so, back to Philippians 3:10. Says that I may know Him. Paul here is saying not to speculate about Him, but to know Him. Paul desired to have a fuller and a richer experience in the knowledge of Christ. Now, you talk to just about anybody out on the streets, and they know say they know God or know about God. We know about God through history, through what we've read, what we've heard. But do we know Him in an intimate, experimental, spiritual, born-again way? From the heart, not with the head. It has to be from the heart. And this is what Paul is saying, that I may know Him experientially. I may know Him intimately. That I may be conformed and experience His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. and the fellowship of his suffering, that we may be made conformable unto his death. And the power of his resurrection, that power experienced, is when God raised Christ from the dead. Ephesians 1:19-20 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness and his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power?" Verse 20 says, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." You know, when Jesus Christ said it is finished on the cross, that the veil was rent from top to bottom. That was saying that that our salvation and the work that Christ had come on earth to be done was procured and was satisfied by Almighty God. That Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for his people. And so it is that we are now able to be, that we became kings and priests, the Scripture says. That we don't have to have an earthly man to go into the presence of God for us, that the way was opened up when that veil was rent from top to bottom, that we as the people of God can go into the very presence of God and commune with Him on a personal basis. We don't have to have an earthly medium today. And we are to know His fellowship of His sufferings. Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Him, that we may also be glorified together." If we expect to be glorified with God, we are going to have to expect to suffer for His name's sake. The Scripture says, "He that lives holy and righteous shall suffer persecutions." Being made conformable unto his death. Christians professing God's elect are to live as those who are dead with Christ and who have been raised to a newness of life. Being born of the Spirit of God is a life-changing and a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So when this new birth and this regeneration comes about, we have not just been reformed, we have been transformed, we have been changed into a new creation. Romans 6:6-8. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth that we should not serve sin." Do you know this God that is able to save us completely from sin, from the power of sin, from the dominion of sin? And one day we will be saved from the very presence of sin. After He comes and raptures out His saints, to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we will be changed and we will be like Him. We say we don't know what we will be like, but we will, when He is manifest or when He is made known or revealed, we will be made manifest are known to be like him. For he that we, as a child of God that has been truly born again, if you know him. The scripture says here in verse 6 of Romans 6 says that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, we know that we will never be sinless long as we are in this body, but we do sin less. And this says, talks here that we are not to serve sin. That means that our lifestyle is to be a lifestyle to be lining up with the Lord and with His Word, of a holy lifestyle. That we will not be in a lifestyle of serving sin as being the master of our hearts and of our lives if you've been born again. Impossibility. Scripture says that he that is in you is more powerful than he that is in the world. So, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now, that's not saying, again, that we're sinless. We do make mistakes. We do sin. That's the reason 1 John says that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father that we can go to and ask forgiveness, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But we do sin less. Our lifestyle will exemplify that we have been changed. If an individual says that I love God and I serve God, and if they are living in a constant, everyday, sinful lifestyle, the Lord says, if you say that you love me, and keep my commandments. If you do, and then keep not my commandments, you are a liar and the truth not in you. So verse 8 of Romans 6 says, now, if we are, that word eis, are since, now since we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Verse Romans 6 and 6, our old man. This is our old self. The person we were before we were crucified with Christ. The body of sin might be destroyed, as verse 6 says. The believers now has the power to serve Christ instead of the old master sin that we had before. Freed from sin. The believer has been delivered from the guilt of sin and penalty of sin and is set free to serve Christ. Before we were born again, we were in bondage to Satan and to sin. After being born again, we are in bondage and a bond slave, the scripture says, to Jesus Christ and to live for Him. 1 John 4 and 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. 1 John 3, 2, 3, and 9 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear or be manifest what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear or be manifest, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, that may be confusing to us. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, we say, well, we're not sinless. But we do sin. But, he said, the believer, he said that his seed remains in him. The seed of Christ is in the believer. Believers have God's seed. So therefore, when we are born again, what has been born again and cannot sin is the real person, the real man, our soul and our spirit. And it cannot sin. But we know that as long as we're in this body, that this body is prone to sin. One day, that's the reason that when we die, that we are buried, this body is buried in the ground. Because it can't go to heaven right now. Because it's sin. Only thing that can go to heaven when we die, the Lord says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the only thing that can go to heaven right now is our inner person, that which has been born again. So the body has to be put in the ground and waiting the resurrection for the change. And then, when that body has been changed, then the spiritual body and the soul spirit will be joined and will be a perfect body at that time. Then we will be in the presence of the Lord. We will be in heaven, wherever that is. We like to speculate and all about heaven. But wherever God is, wherever Jesus Christ is, that's where heaven is. And that's where he is dwelling. So, there is a reason believers no longer sin incessantly as the devil does. It is because his seed, the divine principle of life in the Holy Spirit, abideth in him. The new birth produces a radical change. But whoever does not do what is right as a lifestyle is not of God. This is particularly true of one lacking love for his Christian brother. You know, that is brought emphasis in the Scripture that if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. How can you love somebody you haven't seen if you can't love one you have seen? So 1 John 2 and 6 says, he that saith that he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now I know I'll say again and emphasize that we are not perfect in this life as far as being sinless, but a child of God that has been born of the Spirit of God from the heart and knows God, genosko, know Him for sure, that there will be a changed life. There will not be a consistent lifestyle of living in sin, because I believe God says, those that I love, I chasten. And if one of His elect is living in sin, I believe that He will chastise him sometimes. Whenever that'll be in God's time, when He chooses. Because He said, those that I love, I chasten. And those that I do not chasten, they are bastards and not sons. So it does make a difference if we are professing children of God. How that we talk, how that we live, and how that we act. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God will preserve. He preserves His saints. And it is a guarantee of God that every one of His saints will persevere to the end. Because He said that he that perseveres to the end shall be delivered. So it's not left up with our good works or our free will, or anything about us, that we are preserved or that we will be preserved or will persevere. That is in the hands of an almighty, powerful God. So we need to understand that. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, if we did according to our will, we would do exactly what Romans 3:11, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none good. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. We have the will of our mother and father Adam and Eve, and they will went away from God, and we will, as our will in our natural state, will always go away from God, never toward God. That's the reason in John 10, it says Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. So, in John 14, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I come again and receive you unto myself, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So He's gone to prepare a place for His people. He's going to come again one of these days to receive unto Himself. And He told His disciples there that day in verse 6. He says, they said, well, how can we know the way? Thomas says, how can we know the way? And the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. John 6:44 says that no man can. No man has the ability. No man has the power to come to me except my Father. Draw him and bring him unto Himself. Do you know Him today? Paul says, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. In His suffering. that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. For if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though that I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that from which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Have we been apprehended? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Paul says, "Oh, that I could know Him and the power of His resurrection." And if we can really know Him as He is, and we can see ourselves as we really are, we would like be Isaiah in chapter 6. He said that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the King high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne, and His train filled the temple. God sent a coal of fire from the altar, burnt off, but to His lips. He says, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." That's the way we are today. That's the way I am today. And I ask, do you know? Heavenly Father, as we approach Your throne, we come thanking You, Lord, that You are God and besides You there's none other. That You have Your way in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay Your hand or say to You, "What doest Thou?" Heavenly Father, I pray for lost sinners today that You would reach down. That it could be one of Your elect that You would save and bring unto Yourself today. And Heavenly Father, I pray for our nation, for our leaders, that You might could touch, that You would touch their hearts and their minds, that You would transform them and turn them from their wicked ways. And Heavenly Father, You tell us in Your Word in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if My people who are called by My name would humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their lands. Heavenly Father, I pray for healing today of Your people. We need healing today. And Heavenly Father, we need Your power. We need Your Spirit, because You tell us in John 15:5, without Me, you can do nothing. I pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Savior's name. Amen. If you want to have a closing hymn.